in addition to what you have on this property here, you're involved in charity work, and Special Olympics is a passion
of
yours.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
That was headed up by Eunice Shriver.
Right.
How did you get involved with Special Olympics?
The first time leads back to Paul Zert. Special Olympics Oklahoma was doing a little sports event up at UCO, University of Central Oklahoma, and they said, why don't you come up one day and work out for a couple of hours with some athletes with Down syndrome? You might find it interesting. So I was a little intimidated. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was safe, what they could do. But immediately, I connected with the joy. Anybody who's been to a Special Olympics event, there's such a sense of accomplishment and sense of joy. And sports is the catalyst to make that happen. That's the reason we get together to play, and the reason we can foster a relationship and a friendship and some sense of tolerance and acceptance of people who are different. Right away, I thought, this is fantastic. And so I volunteered as a coach. I did some other things. I was invited to some Special Olympics events to do clinics or do an exhibition or speak to the athletes. Funny story happened. This is about the mid-80s. I got a call from Eunice Kennedy Shriver, which is pretty thrilling. You know, this is the sister of JFK. She said, we're doing an event in New York at the United Nations. We're going to celebrate the growth of Special Olympics around the world. Could you come? And I said, I'd love to come, but I'm going to be in Zimbabwe in Southern Africa next week. I got to go to do a gymnastic clinic and a symposium and some shows. She said, oh, do you know President Mugabe? I'm like, well, no. I'm a gymnast from Oklahoma. I don't know the president of Zimbabwe. At the time, he was considered a good guy. He's turned out to be a bad guy now. But she said, well, let me see if we can organize something. Perhaps you can help us start a program in Zimbabwe. Here, I was calling her back with regrets that I couldn't attend the event at the United Nations. And she, literally, within 5 days, turned it into something positive for Special Olympics. So a week later, I'm down there. I meet the minister of sport, some athletes, some coaches, some family members, a sponsor. And we have Special Olympics Zimbabwe get started. So 2 years later, Special Olympics Zimbabwe comes to the Special Olympics World Summer Games in South Bend, Indiana, and they're celebrated as a new program in the Special Olympics movement. And so Eunice called me and said, I'd like to nominate you for a position on our International Board of Directors. Thanks for your good work and your passion about Special Olympics. I said, that's awesome. I said, I'm going to be traveling. Here's my number. I'm going to be in New York. But if I get elected, please call me. I'll be thrilled to know this. And I'll never forget when she said, Albar, you don't understand. If I've nominated you, you're elected. So that's what happened. 1987, I joined the International Board of Directors, and now I'm the vice chair. I travel all over the world. I just came home from Korea 2 weeks ago where we had the Special Olympics World Winter Games in Pyeongchang. It's been a passion of mine, and we're trying to do the best we can because I do think the beauty of sports provides the foundation for people to come together. And one of the great growth opportunities in Special Olympics right now is called unified sports, where you create a team of athletes with and without intellectual disabilities who play together on the same team. And everybody wins. Fosters better play. It fosters acceptance and tolerance and friendships. And now, instead of sort of looking at Special Olympics athletes and just applauding them for their accomplishments, now we're playing with them and we're rising up together. So this movement now has 4 million athletes in 180 countries, 53,000 competitions around the world each year happening. Every day, competitions are happening in Special Olympics. You have a whole population of people who were never given a chance, who are now being appreciated in a new way. And so that's just magic.
Interesting. No matter how challenged a person may be, mentally, physically, there's also this urge yet to compete in a physical activity.
Right. And it fosters a whole new appreciation. Think about it. We have a young lady here, Ashley Colin. She's worked for us for 7 or 8 years. She's a Special Olympics athlete. She works here 2 days a week. She's one of our most loyal and dedicated employees. And the reason I know that she can accomplish things is because I saw her play sports. And now she's a contributing member of our staff here. Because she played sports, it fostered a sense of appreciation and it fostered a sense that look what she can do, not what she can't do. And that's led to a job. And now it's led to a friendship and it's led to everything that every person wants. But sports was the catalyst for it all.
So then as you're around those athletes, what do you draw from them? What is your takeaway from them?
Oh, just, you know, everybody has gifts and they are just different. And who's to say whose gifts are more valuable? You think about the joy that you see in their faces when they accomplish something, the feeling that, hey, I belong, I matter to somebody, I have value. What could be more rewarding than getting that sense from somebody? That's the magic of it. And, you know, like I said, the beauty of it, it's so simple. Let's just get a ball and kick it around. All of a sudden, everything organically blossoms from that. That's the magic.
Isn't Nadia joining you?
Very much so, yeah. She's been for more than 20 years now a member of our board and travels the world as well helping Special Olympics. Like I said, I was in Korea the other day, but I mean, it's China, it's Japan, it's South Africa, it's Russia, Romania, Europe, wherever. We go a lot of places.
Haven't you given some of your time to the Muscular Dystrophy Association?
Oh, we do, yeah. I was brought into muscular dystrophy in the mid-80s when they were drawing a connection between healthy muscles and what you can do with healthy muscles. And so they reached out to me as an Olympic athlete and said, maybe you could talk a little bit about the fact that because you have healthy muscles, you're allowed to do these things. And not everybody has the gift of healthy muscles. We drew that connection. The current campaign with muscular dystrophy is make a muscle, make a difference. And of course, that is a population of people who have neuromuscular diseases. There's more than 42 neuromuscular diseases under the umbrella of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. I'm also a member of their board.